Hello, my name is Marcy Stern. Welcome to Torati Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we'll be studying Zechariah Perek Hei, Chapter 5. When we studied Perek Dalet in Zechariah in the last year, we learned the famous vision of Zechariah when he saw the golden menorah whose oil was totally prepared from the olives and fed into the seven lamps, Neirot, and kindled with no intervention by a single human being. Lo v'chayo v'lo b'koa ki im bruchi amar Hashem. It is not through strength, it is not through power, but is through my spirit, so says Hashem. The Jewish people are being encouraged to place their trust in Hashem that the second Beit HaMikdash will be built and not fear the enemy who has invested much time in preventing that from happening. The parak ends by again praising Zerubbabel and Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, the Shnei B'nai Yitzhar, the two anointed ones, so that the people value them as the keepers of Hashem's spiritual and political blessings for the people. Perek Hei, Chapter 5, continues with three more visions, our seventh, eighth, and ninth visions that will be learned together. However, the first six Maraot we've covered in the first four Prokim of Zechariah, the Malach on the Red Horse, the four Kranot horns, the four Harashim, the carpenters, the Chevel Midah, the measuring rope, the attempted prosecution of Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, and the menorah are all different types of encouragement to the people to rebuild the Second Temple. The three here in Perek Hei, Chapter 5, have a much different theme. In them, the Navi learns of the sins of the Jewish people that they are guilty of now, and the ultimate punishment that awaits them should they not correct their ways. These three Maraot are particularly hard to decipher, as Rashi had warned us in Perek Aleph, Nevuat Zechariah Stumahi Ma'od. The prophecy of Zechariah are very complex. There are numerous interpretations among the commentaries. I've chosen mainly the viewpoint of the Abarbanel, who lived in Spain in the 15th century, to clarify the psukim as best we can. And so we begin. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Va'ashuv, once again I raised my eyes. Ve'esa enai ve'er en, I saw. Ve'hine migila afa, a scroll that was flying. Va'yomer elai, ma taro'eh? And the Malach HaDover be said to me, what do you see? Ve'omar, and I answered, says Zechariah, ani ro'eh migila afa, I see a scroll that was flying. Or ka esrim ba'ama, the length was 20 amos, v'roch ba eser ba'ama, and the width 10 amos. The Megillah was 20 amos long and 10 amos wide. In our terms, that would be between 30 to 40 feet long and 50 to 20 feet wide, depending on how long an ama is considered. In any case, the Megillah was very, very large. What was this Megillah? Was anything written on it? Is there an importance to its size? Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Vayomer Eli, the Malach HaDover, says to me, Zot ha'ala hayotzeit al pnei kol ha'aretz. This is the curse of Hashem that is going out over the surface of the whole earth. Ki kol ha'ganav mizeh kamoha nika, v'chol ha'nishba mizeh kamoha nika. Loosely translated, this means all those that rob or swear falsely will be brushed aside and destroyed, as it says in this Megillah. The Pasuk is telling us that the Megillah is synonymous with a curse. In what way? Two types of sins, stealing and swearing falsely in Hashem's name, are singled out. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Hotzeiti anu'um Hashem Tzvakot. I will take out the curse. I will release it. Uva'a el beit ha'ganav el beit ha'nishba mishbi la'shaker. And it will come to the house of the robber and he that swears in my name falsely. V'lana betoch beito. And it will lodge in his house. V'chilatu ve'et etzav ve'et avanav. And it will annihilate him, his trees, and his stones. The Megillah represented the the compilation of all of the sins of Bnei Israel during the period. The Megillah was written on both sides. The Navi is being told that Hashem held off punishing the people in his rachamim in hopes that they would do tshuva. But if that doesn't happen, he will release the Megillah that forebodes the curse and the punishment that will befall the nation. The Abarbanel compares it to a storekeeper that keeps a running tally of each customer's debt. After a month or a year, whatever they decided, the storekeeper demands a payment on this debt. In the case of Bnei Israel, now the tally of the transgressions is very large to the point where Hashem will punish them all at once. What punishment would that be if they continued sinning and not living up to the potential of the second temple being Habayit HaAcharon, the final temple? He foretells it by saying, it is the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, the second temple. That is why perhaps the Megillah was 20 by 10 Amma, as was the anteroom of the first Beit HaMikdash built by Shlomo that was destroyed, so says some of the Forshim. Yecheskel had seen a Megillah Afa too. He had seen a flying Megillah as well, which had prophesied the destruction of the first temple. And so, in the first four Prokim of Scharia, had seen Mar'ot telling of the potential of Bayis Rishon to be the ultimate Geula in the long run, the blessings, the restorations of the Shekhinah, Hashem's presence, the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash, the size and glory of Yerushalayim that would abound. Now in Perek Hey, chapter 5, Hashem wants to elucidate to the Navi and his people what the connection between their second Mikdash and the ultimate redemption is, or can be. In light of the sins of the people, retribution will come eventually in the destruction of the second temple. In this Perek's second Mar'ah, Scharia sees an unusually harsh picture. After being told by HaMalach HaDoverbi, the prophetic aide, to raise his eyes and see what is emerging, Zecharia answers in verse 6, Pasuk Vav, Mahi, what is this? The Malach HaDoverbi answers him, Zot ha'efa hayotzeit. This is the efa emerging. And efa is a measure, a type of a measure. Sort of like in today's world, if we would call a bushel. A bushel is a container, but it's a measure. We know that we fill a bushel, we have a certain amount of apples. Well, an efa was a type of measure. Vayomer, and the Malach HaDoverbi goes on to say, Zot einam b'chol ha'aretz. This is because their greedy eyes are in all the land. Scharia is being told that not only thievery and swearing falsely are causes for the second temple to fall, but also there was another injustice they were guilty of, that of altering the measures, the ephod, that were used to dispense the proper amount of goods bought. The people used their eyes to pick out and trick poor people and steal from them with unfair business dealings, an awful practice that you may remember mentioned by Yeshayahu and Amos, for instance. The vision goes on to describe the punishment for this sin. A woman who represents Rishus, this wickedness, will be pushed down, he sees in his Mar'ah, into the Efa, into the measure. Their downfall will be meted out to them, Mida Kenegan Mida, measure for measure. The woman who sinned with a measure with the Efa will be punished through it. The block of lead that Scharia sees in the vision will be thrust into her mouth so that she can't stand up and will no longer be able to raise her voice to rob the poor and the destitute, as Rashi says. The deceit of the people and their wickedness in dealing with their fellow man, plus their punishment, had to be revealed to the nation. L'man yishma'u v'yira'u, so they would all see and fear Hashem's words. The Abarbanel emphasizes the words in Pasuk Vav in a slightly different way. Zos Einam b'chol ha'aretz. All eyes have to see the sin, the transgression, and the outcome. In the third and final Mar'ev chapter, Zechariah sees two women emerging with wind in their wings. They each have long, wide wings like a stork and are lifting the ephah, the measure, from the previous vision. Zechariah asks in Pasuk Yud Aleph 11, Ana hema molichot et ha'ephah. Where are these women taking this measure? Vayomer Eli, and I was told by the Malach Hadover B, leave not la bayit be'eret Shinar, to build a house in the land of Shinar. V'hu chan, v'hu nachasham amachunata. It will be established, this house, and she will set it down there on its base. Abarbanel explains that the two women represent the kingdoms of Yisrael and Yehuda, that the 10 tribes who have already gone to Golos years before, and now the kingdom of Judah. He calls them women, their Barbanel says, just like Yecheskel did, calling them Ohala and Ohalivama. In the first two Mar'ot of this Perek, Zechariah learned about the transgressions that will bring the destruction of the second temple if tshuva is not done. This third Mar'eh vision speaks to the length of the exile, the length of the galus. In the end result, both the kingdoms of Yisrael and Yehuda will have long and distant exiles. The stork has long, wide wings that can take the ephah to far-off lands. The pasuk notes that the chassidah carried the ephah, the measure, bein ha'aretz uvein ha'shamayim, between the earth and the heavens, meaning that there was ultimate hope for the sinners of the measure. That is why Zechariah asks, where are they being taken? The Malach HaDover answers, they're being taken to Eretz Shinar, where they will build houses. Eretz Shinar, usually part of Bavel, means a land of upheaval, shakiness. That's what the word Shinar means. The Jews, after the destruction of the Second Temple, will live many years in exile. But, the Navi emphasizes, they will not stay in one place. They will be in an Eretz Shinar and wander from land to land. They will not succeed in establishing permanent roots anywhere. And hasn't history borne this out to be true? It will not be until the ultimate Geula, redemption, that we will return to where we all really belong. Thank you for studying with me. Am Le'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi.